You are Locked On Giants, your daily podcast on the New York Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome, New York Giant fans. I'm Patricia Traina, and I am joined by Ed Valentine, and we are your new hosts of the Locked On New York Giants podcast. And we're very excited to be here with you today. We are stepping in and taking the reins for Art Stapleton, who did such a great job for over 200 episodes. And Ed, a new adventure. Can't wait to get started.
Me either, Patty. It's a new day for us, something new, something exciting. We hope that folks that have been listening to Art over the last couple of years enjoy, you know, listening to us and our insights as well, and we also hope that folks who have been listening to us at our previous platform, you know, will come over and join in the fun over here at Locked On.
Yeah, definitely. Well, folks, before we jump into our first show, we thought that we might take a few minutes to introduce ourselves to you, just tell you a little bit about who we are if you're not familiar with us, who we write for, and that sort of good stuff. And I'll start off, ladies first.
Of course, Patty.
Of course, right. I have covered the New York Giants for over 20 years. So, yeah, I'm updating myself a little bit, but I am a seasoned beat writer. I've written for a variety of publications, including Inside Football, for whom I still contribute to, the Sports Exchange, to whom I still contribute to, Bleacher Report, the Journal Inquirer of Central Connecticut, and right now I am also a brand new contributor at The Athletic New York. Just started that this month, and I just continue to write all things Giants, talk about all things Giants. I have a good history with the team as far as, you know, my knowledge of going back to the 90s and before that, the late 80s, and I just feel blessed to be able to bring everybody the content that I get and the interviews and all that great stuff, and I am especially blessed to work with my colleague Ed Valentine, whose site I also contribute to, and Ed, he does a great job, so I'm going to let him tell you about his site.
Patty, is there, you know, we've talked about this before, but is there any place you don't write for? You started to laugh before I even got that out.
I know, because I know what you were going to say.
You know, that's the really scary part is you and I have done, this is our first show at Locked On, but I think it's pretty darn close to our 150th show together. So it's kind of scary because I know what you're going to say most of the time, and you know what I'm going to say, and you know, folks that are new to listening to us will realize that we don't actually argue a whole lot, which is kind of scary.
It is.
But what I will say, you know, you asked in terms of introduction. You know, I've been editor at Big Blue View since that site was founded in 2007, and what I always claim is, since that was our rookie year and the Giants won a Super Bowl, I always claim that Big Blue View should get credit for that Super Bowl. You know, we take no blame for anything that's happened the last few years, but we definitely want credit for that Super Bowl.
So typical of you, Ed.
Oh, thanks, Patty. What are you saying about me there?
Nobody taking no blame for the last few years.
No, not me. Not my fault.
Well, anyway, Giant fans, we are very excited to be here with you. You can follow me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina, and Ed is at Big Blue View. And in today's show, we're going to get you ready for the start of NFL free agency, which kicks off on March 14th. And a lot of stuff, a lot of speculation, a lot of rumors starting to pick up as we get into free agency. So among the things we're going to talk a little bit about include the franchise and transition tags, which open today. The window opens today. We'll look at some of the decisions that the Giants have regarding their own free agents, and Then we'll, if time permits, we'll take a look at some potential free agent targets outside the Giants. So, Ed, let's start with the tag period, which, as I mentioned, starts today and runs through March 6th. And the Giants are probably not going to use either the franchise or transition tags on any of their players. And let's just talk about who might have been a candidate and what kind of money we might have been looking at.
Well, you know, the name that leaps to mind, obviously, is, you know, Justin Pugh. As a secondary one would be Weston Richburg, but primarily it's Justin Pugh. And you and I think, are both in agreement that it would be very unlikely for the Giants to use the tag on Justin Pugh. And the thing about that is purely the amount of money that it would cost. The way that the tag is structured for offensive linemen, it doesn't differentiate between a center and a left tackle. It just averages, you know, the highest paid offensive lineman overall. So what you wind up with, the over the cap estimate, you know, for what it would cost to sign Justin Pugh to a franchise tag is more than $14.5 million, and that would make him, if you consider him a guard, that would make him the highest paid guard in the league in 2018. And if you're the Giants, I just don't think you can do that.
No, you definitely can. And if you look at what the Giants cap space is, now again, these are all estimated numbers, folks, because the NFL salary cap has not yet been finalized. So all these estimates provided by overthecap.com. They do excellent work. Highly recommend you check them out. If you look at the current Giants cap space that Over the Cap has them at, based on a $178 million cap, that's $24.535 million that the Giants have. They have 62 guys listed under contract. So $24.535 million in estimated cap space. Now, again, if you take that estimated franchise tag, a 14.538, you're left with what? Less than, oh, goodness.
It's around 10, Patty.
Yeah, around 10.
Don't ask me to do math, please, especially on the fly.
Somebody has to do math on the fly.
Don't ask me to do math.
Someone has to do it. So anyway, so you leave them now with $10 million, a hair over $10 million, and then you also need, I think, about $6 million or so to cover the draft class. So now, yes, the Giants are going to probably make some cuts in order to clear some more cap space. We can talk briefly about that. Dwayne Harris comes to mind. You know, his production, unfortunately, doesn't match what he's looking at as far as salary goes. I know Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie had been mentioned by a lot of people as a possible, you know, someone who they may look to cut, but quite honestly, I don't see that happening. If anything, they might try to lower his number instead of cutting him. I'm trying to think who else. John Jerry is another one who came to mind as far
Brandon
as,
Marshall,
you know.
Brandon Marshall, Patty, as
Brandon
well.
Brandon Marshall, yes. Yep, I was going to just get to Brandon Marshall. So if we look at the numbers as to what these guys are worth, let's just take a look real quick. DRC is $8.5 million, but again, I don't think they're going to cut him. I think, if anything, they look to lower that number, even if it means adding on a second year, which would be a dummy year, as I call it, which means that, you know, it's a year that's not really going to count. It's just to help with redistributing the money. Brandon Marshall, they would save $5.156 million. John Jerry, if they were to cut him, $2.52 million. So, you know, there is money to be had. And to me, you know, the biggest decision I think they're going to need to make is Eli Manning. And we all know that Eli Manning has, you know, they've decided that he's going to be their starting quarterback. Eli has a cap figure of $22.2 million for 2018, but he also has a $5 million roster bonus. And I wrote about this I think last month for Big Blue View, I had proposed a scenario where they can maybe get rid of that $5 million roster bonus and just kind of, roll it all together, where they're not giving Eli new money, but they're redistributing the money a little bit over the lifetime of his, what's left of the lifetime of his contract, just to lower that number a bit. So, it's going to be interesting, Ed, because, we're starting with Dave Gettleman, whereas, when Jerry Reese was in the saddle, we kind of knew, based on patterns, what he might do and how he might think. But we're starting over with Dave Gettleman and just trying to get a feel for how he's going to approach it.
Right. We really don't know. I mean, Gettleman has a little bit of history, in Carolina of trying to – I mean, he tends to – his history would tell you that he'll lock up the younger players, the guys that he thinks can be long-term solutions, and that he's more aggressive or more willing to move on, from some of the older guys. But every situation, every team, every season's going to be different. And you're absolutely right. We just don't know, how he'll approach this. It is interesting. I'm kind of enjoying the speculation and trying to play along and figure out what he might do, because we did have a bit of a read on Jerry Reese, but we'll see how this goes. I would expect, I think John Jerry is a maybe, Dominique Rogers Cromartie is a maybe. I would think they'll definitely move on from Brandon Marshall and from Dwayne Harris. And we'll see how it goes from there. You mentioned Eli, and I wanted to say one quick thing about Eli. With all of the explosion in quarterback contract numbers at this point, he's actually fairly affordable. He's pretty much middle of the pack in terms of starting quarterbacks at this point. So, I mean, the cap number looks like a lot, but when you look at what everybody else is making around the league, his number's not that bad.
Good point. Good point. And certainly the market is going to change. Once Kirk Cousins signs his new deal, if Nick Foles gets traded and gets a new deal, so the Giants might just say, look, maybe they do a wink nod type of agreement with Eli if they need the money down the line. But maybe now Eli doesn't become a priority, if he even was a priority to begin with. We will see if that happens with Eli Manning. I think at this point, I agree with you, it's probably not going to happen. So we'll find out soon. So coming up next, Ed and I are going to go all in on the offensive side of the ball. We're going to talk about some of the Giants' own free agencies. But first, Ed, we have a sponsor.
Yes, we do. So talk about that is the Markowitz Law Firm. And if you or a loved one lived, worked, or visited Lower Manhattan in the months after the 9/11 attacks and have been diagnosed with cancer, federal benefits and health care may be available. Attorney Eddie Markowitz has helped many families recover substantial benefits from the September 11 Victims Compensation Fund. The James Zadroga Health and Compensation Act has been extended, but time is limited. Attorney Markowitz is proud to serve as counsel to the Zadroga family. Let him help you too. These benefits are not just for rescue workers, but for anyone who qualifies. The fund covers many cancers, including prostate, skin, lung, and breast cancer. Please call 1-833-LAW-4040. That's 1-833-LAW-4040 to see if you qualify.
All right. So on that note, let's switch over, turn the page, and run down some of the key Giants free agents on the offensive side of the ball. Now, the Giants, in total, I believe, have 19 unrestricted free agents, and it seems like it's almost split down the middle between offense and defense. And today we will talk about the offensive side, and then tomorrow we will talk about the defensive side. So the free agents, I picked out six guys that I think are going to be key in terms of positions that may or may not be reshaped. And we mentioned a couple at the top of the show, starting with the offensive linemen, Justin Pugh and Weston Richburg. And Ed, let's start with you and get your take on, you know, where you see these guys ending up, you know, what you think the Giants might end up doing with them. We already, of course, talked about, you know, the franchise tag and how we don't think they're going to use it. But, you know, what's in the cards for these guys, do you think?
Well, it's really kind of interesting, Patty, because you look at the Giants and you think they need to rebuild this offensive line. You know, at some point, you know, they need to finally put a stable, quality offensive line in front of Eli Manning. You know, that we've talked about it, you know, for a long time. We've both written about it for a long time. For whatever reason, whether it was inability to properly scout and identify good offensive linemen, or whether it was, you know, a belief that the Giants could scheme around it, Jerry Reese, during his tenure, you know, was unable to really put together that quality offensive line. And it seems kind of counterintuitive that you would look at Justin Pugh and Weston Richburg, who basically are the best offensive linemen the Giants had the past couple of years, and think that neither one of them would be part of a rebuild of that line. But my guess is that neither one of them is back next year. I think that when you look at Weston Richburg, you know, the fact of the matter is Brett Jones filled in very, very well for Weston Richburg last season when Richburg went down with a concussion. And he's going to be Jones, that is a lot less expensive than Weston Richburg. That's a situation where you take the good player, which Jones is, who is a lot less expensive than Richburg would likely be. So I think that I would be very, very surprised if the Giants don't move on from Richburg. In terms of Justin Pugh, maybe we're jumping ahead a little bit, but there's a huge expectation that the Giants will make a run at Carolina Panthers guard Andrew Norwell. And if they do that, I just don't see how they can sign both players with the cap space that they have and with needs in other places. So I'm anticipating that neither one of those guys returns next year.
I would agree with you. And the third guy on that offensive line who is also going to be unrestricted, who I think does return, is going to be DJ Fluker. And it's interesting because when I look at that offensive line, I know, like you said, a lot of people say, oh, that line has to be redone. I think, based on how they finished last year, that they have three-fifths of the starting offensive line in place. Whether they have everybody in the right position, that's another story. But, you know, we mentioned Brett Jones at center. He is going to be a restricted free agent, and as you said, he's going to be cheaper to re-sign than Weston Richburg. Eric Flowers, everybody's favorite offensive tackle, he is going to be back. The Giants are not going to cut him. They're not going to trade him. He has guaranteed money. And, you know, this is a big year for him, actually this offseason, because Eric Flowers, they do need to make a decision on whether or not to pick up the fifth-year option in his rookie year deal. And I think they have until May 2nd to make that decision. So they are going to keep Eric Flowers. Now, whether they keep him at left tackle, which is what I think they're going to do, or right tackle, which is certainly a possibility depending on what they're able to find in the market or what kind of solution they have, that remains to be seen. But right now, for those who think that, you know, the Giants are going to go out and get two new offensive tackles, I don't think the money's going to allow them to, because one of the problems the Giants had last year with the offensive line is they basically had a lot of, you know, young guys in there, you know, Richburg was experienced, Pugh was experienced, Hart and Flowers inconsistent, John Jerry, he is what he is, and we questioned it, we questioned it back then. We said, look, if you're going to have Eli Manning, who is a statue back there, you want to have a bunch of, to use Dave Gettleman's term, hog mollies up front to protect him. You're not going to have a quarterback back there who's going to run away and use his legs to extend the play. That's not who Eli Manning is. So I wonder if they are, when they rebuild this, are they going to add a couple of, of those real big hog mollies? And I would start with DJ Fluker. Now, DJ Fluker, when he was in the lineup, the running game took off. I think they had, 4 100-yard rushers. Rushing yard performances when Fluker was in there. And he's just, you get him moving straight ahead, and good luck trying to get past him. The guy is just massive. So now, with that all said, I think Fluker is going to be either like a second-tier or third-tier free agent signing. He's not going to be someone, I don't think, who will be signed in that first 5 days or so of free agency when everybody goes crazy. So, but I did talk to Fluker towards the end of the season. He told me, he wants to come back. He loves it here. And we'll see if the Giants can make it happen.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Patty. I think Fluker's a guy that I would like to see come back. And he won't be an expensive sign either. So that would be a good move for the Giants. There's really not a lot other than offensive linemen, on the offensive side of the ball. There's Geno Smith is a free agent. Shane Vereen is a free agent. The other interesting one for me is Orleans Darkwa. I don't know what kind of market Orleans Darkwa can anticipate in free agency, to be honest with you. I can't really get a feel for it. He's a guy that I thought for years was underutilized by the Giants. And then finally, got his opportunity last season and did very well with it. I think he gained 751 yards total for the season, I think was the number. Ran very well. I'm interested to see, what his market is. I'm interested to see if the Giants have competition for him and whether they're interested in bringing him back and seeing if he can be part of their running game going forward. I would like to see him return, provided that the price tag isn't that large. But outside the offensive line guys, he's the really interesting one for me.
I agree with you. And the thing about the way the Giants have done the run distribution amongst their running backs is they've had a committee. They've never had one guy really be the guy, at least not since Ahmad Bradshaw was here, and he sort of became that guy. But, I look at the guys that are under contract. You've got Wayne Gallman, who is going to enter his second season. Who else is under contract with him?
Paul Perkins.
Paul Perkins, who kind of had a rough sophomore year for the Giants. And I look at the talent there, and I say to myself, okay, is there a quick twitch type of guy that they have currently under contract? And Perkins, I think, would make a great third down back. I think he can do a lot of what Shane Vereen did, which is why I don't think Vereen is going to be back. So Perkins, I think there's definitely a role for him, despite the fact that he struggled this year for whatever reason. But I'd like to see the Giants add a quick twitch type of back, a guy who can change direction on a dime. And I'm not sure that Orleans Darkwa, and mind you, I love the guy. I love how he runs, and I've said this millions of times on Twitter. But I'm not sure if he's quite the guy. I think he's more of a between the tackles type of a guy who can push the pile, who can make something out of nothing. And you mentioned his yardage, and he certainly made a lot of stuff out of nothing behind, suspect run blocking.
No, but what he is not is a home run hitter. He's a guy, he hits the hole hard, he gets what's available, he pushes the pile. But what he isn't, is a guy who's going to get to that second level, make guys miss, turn a 5 or 6 yard run into a 25 or 30 yard run. The Giants could really use, that kind of a guy, you know, who can make the big explosive play. But I personally would like to see Darqua come back, but I don't know if that's going to happen because he may have played so well that he priced himself out of the market.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, but I agree with you. I think, you know, if they can get a home run type of hitter at running back just to kind of balance out the talent they have. You know, Dave Gettleman spoke about his three keys for a football team, and he spoke about running the ball. And part of that, of course, is the run blocking. You need the run blocking there, which, you know, obviously that covers the offensive line. But you also need guys who can, you know, force missed tackles, guys who can break away, and, you know, just really, once they get out into space, just leave defenders trailing, you know, eating their dust. So I would not be surprised if the Giants address running back, be it in the draft. I don't know if they're going to do it by a free agency. I did see this morning that the Bucks released Doug Martin. You know, I don't know that if the Giants necessarily make a pitch for him, but already we're starting to see guys getting released, and that's somebody I'm sure you and I will get asked about on Twitter as people learn of that transaction.
Patty, did you have to get me started on Doug Martin? Did you really have to do that?
Yeah, I had to.
Yeah, you just had to do that because I'm still convinced that Doug Martin is the guy that Jerry Reese wanted in that draft all those many years ago, and that selecting David Wilson, you know, one pick later, was a panic move by Reese because he was convinced that he had to have a running back there. But that's ancient history, old news, and I really wish you hadn't made me revisit it. But we'll move on. Was there anything else that we really needed to hit today, Patty, or do you want to wrap up our first Locked On show here pretty quickly?
I think we touched upon everything we needed to for the offensive side of the ball. So, Giant fans, be sure you keep it right here on the Locked On Giants Network. We've got the Combine coming up a week from today, which means the rumor mill is really going to start to go into overdrive, and we will have reports from the Combine in a week. For the time being, tomorrow we're going to take a look at the defensive side of the ball, where we're going to talk about a position that Jerry Reese, for whatever reason, ignored for a number of years as far as devoting high resources.
I wonder what that position is.
Yeah, that discussion ought to be a good one, considering the number of free agents they have at that position. And I think you all know it. If you follow the Giants, you know what position I'm talking about. But make sure you tune in tomorrow. We will talk about that. We'll talk about any roster moves or anything that the Giants might do. We don't anticipate the use of the franchise tag or the transition tag, but this is day one. So we'll keep an eye on all that stuff and bring it all to you as we learn it. So that'll do it. Thanks again for listening. And again, be sure to follow Ed Valentine at Big Blue View on Twitter. And I am at Patricia Traina on Twitter as well. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.